He remembered that. And actually, you know, that reflection, the whole rap is a reflection, and my perception of it is on what God is, what God does and what he is doing over time and circumstance. And anyway, just going to tie in well with what we're sharing on today. So Pastor Powell is not able to be here. If you're here for a first time, please come back, meet my pastor, Pastor Tom Powell, because he's a great pastor. I'm a little biased, but he's a great pastor. And I want you to come back if you're just visiting and kind of kicking the tire today. That would be good. My name is Jim Cornwell. I'm one of the associate pastors here, and I'm going to speak a few words here, and hopefully it'll all kind of come together so that we can leave with some food and some meat and, you know, just something to go forward in our week with as far as God's provision is concerned. Just a few quick announcements. Today, after church, we will have a meal in the fellowship hall, and today's meal is chicken nuggets and French fries. Good old chicken nuggets and French fries. Where's that? What's that going towards? Anybody? No? Something important. Okay. So that's going to be right after church. And then also, Pastor Kevin wanted me to let you know that the couples Bible study that's starting up this year, just for the first time, is not, we're moving the date to February 8th. So that will not be the 25th, but it'll be the 8th, 3 weeks from yesterday, right? Thereabouts. 2 weeks from yesterday. February 8th. Yes. Okay, good. Good. So please keep that in mind. And that, I'm going to just read that real quick. It's going to be at the Wilder's House in Puyallup. It's for couples. And if you're interested at all, if you're a couple, married or not, right? See Pastor Kevin. And he's right. Raise your hand. That's Pastor Kevin, if you don't know him. Okay. God, we do just pray. We thank you that you are the man. Amen. And we thank you that you came and you became flesh, and that you came and identified and bore all of our sin and all of our stuff on your life and on Calvary, Lord, that you nailed it to Calvary. We look to you today. We trust you. We want to just receive your word, God, as the word of God in 1 Thessalonians to not as the word of men, but as the word of God. And I pray that you'll just kind of sift through that as far as the human speaker is concerned, but let the word of God be exalted today in the message. And just, again, give us sustenance and give us provision for the week ahead and even our time, our remaining time here on earth. And we ask this in Christ's name, amen. So if you would turn to Philippians chapter 3, that's going to be kind of our primary text. And then I'm going to have you, after that, I'm going to have you turn to Matthew chapter 16. But one of the things, as you're turning there, that pastor's been really kind of, I've heard it several times through the messages in the last few months, is that he's been communicating to the congregation that God, just this whole message on circumstance and how that circumstance is so often misinterpreted or it's like we have the wrong perception, we get the wrong perception of circumstance. And these are just a few quotes that he gave and I've kind of written them down. It says, God is not trying to change our circumstance, but he always wants to change us. Amen. I think many of us are on the other page. You know, yes, God is definitely wanting to change my circumstance. He's got to be. Absolutely, 100%. Change my circumstance, all be well. Right? Anyway, I'd want to. The point, and another little quote, the point of our Christianity is not circumstantial, but relational. That was last week. He said that the point of our whole walk with God is not about circumstance, but it's about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where we're going to be, that's what we're going to be reading right here. Our purpose in this life is to know Christ. So here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung in my King James, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then in verse 10, it's kind of reaffirming the beginning of verse 8, that I may know him, that I may know him, have relationship with him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This portion, we'll just close that portion right there. This is conveying, and Paul was conveying to Christians everywhere, and it's extending right up till today, that circumstance is not what we should put our faith in, but we should be putting our faith in our relationship to Jesus Christ, right? A faith in our relationship. I'm going to have you turn to Matthew chapter 16, and this is a portion that, by the way, I don't think this theme is new. It's not like innovative from Pastor Jim Cornwell today. This is like a truth that I just feel God wants to continually work on, and it's not a one and done theme, this whole idea of coming into relationship with God. Oh, I have a relationship, I know him. No, the circumstances of life keep showing us how we got to get to know him even better and even more intimately, right? That's what circumstances are going to continue to do in our lives. So what I'm sharing on today isn't new. We've heard it many, many times from this pulpit. Where am I going? Okay, here we go. Matthew. We've heard it many, many times through the Word of God. And this is just something that maybe today's presentation will just help us understand it a little better and understand just a little deeper how relationship with Christ is really where it's all at, and that this thing called circumstance is not where we should put our, we should not be putting our faith in circumstance. America, I love living in the West. You know, I've been around a little bit. I've been to probably 15 different countries for short periods of time. We are so tuned in to circumstance. We've been trained that circumstance is what we have the liberty and freedom to pursue, right? The liberty, the in the Declaration of Independence, we can go after freedom and happiness, right? I think happiness, I'm not going to quote it right today. The pursuit of happiness, thank you, right? And it's like, okay, well, that may be an American citizen's frame of reference, but it's not exactly the Christian's frame of reference. And although we can enjoy that, some aspects of that, that's not where God has the believer. It's not where he would have us to focus on. And I really think our frame of reference gets super distorted. So let's go on a little bit here. Here's just an illustration. I think, I kind of correlated the two portions together, Paul's portion in Philippians, and then Matthew chapter 16 here in verse 21. And I better have the right thing here. It says, oh, wow, I'm feeling like I wasn't going into the right place, and I'm not. It's all good, right? It is. Thank you. Oh, actually, it is the right spot. In verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. This is, by the way, Matthew 16, 21. And suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. So he told his disciples this in verse 22. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Imagine that, huh? And it's like Peter's, thank God for Peter's advocacy, right? Oh boy, what would we do without it? Verse 23, but he turned and said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if any wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So we have this example of Peter thinking that circumstance was very important, especially concerning the things of God, Jesus. And he's saying, you're not going. We are not letting this happen to you. And Jesus Christ gave this firm rebuke to Peter. And, you know, I sit back and I think, by the way, I'm Peter a lot, you know, right? How many Peters do we have? We have a few Peters here. I'm impetuous. I am immediately like coming in and I'm going to intervene on the behalf of others and I am going to save the day. Right? Amen? Yes. Thank you. And I'm just going to insert myself into the things of God and it's going to be okay. And Jesus said, sorry, Peter, you're not understanding that I've got something much different going on. And by the way, the measure that we study the Word of God and we get into Scripture, the measure that we will begin to understand this even more, because Scripture's continually, you know, book after book, passage after passage, really show us that it's we cannot live and govern our lives by circumstance. As a believer, we can't. And that if we do, we're going to continually, God is not going to get tripped up. We're going to get tripped up. Now, he did say to Peter, you're a stumbling block, and I believe the word there, scandalon, actually in this case, means like, you know, you're throwing a stone in my path. I'm going down that path. You're just really making it miserable, Peter. Why don't you just stop it? Because you're like Satan, and you better just kind of cut it out. How many times do we come into that place, you say, never, not me. You might think that, but sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. So the right frame of reference, that's what today's message is all about. How do we title? Those are your red sneakers. Don did a good job of this front page here. It's the truth about my circumstances. What's the truth about my circumstances? God, give us the truth about our circumstances. Because when our typical frame of reference, especially here in America, is if bad circumstances come, that it's not the will of God. If good circumstances come, it is the will of God. And I just want to try to like take an eraser to my mind and just like scrub that away, that thought. Just really get the eraser out and begin to have a whole new frame of reference there, because we watch it all the time in Christianity, and that's how people gauge it. This is of God, therefore it's good. I have watched people say, "Oh, this perfect job has come. It takes them, and it's going to finally be their salvation." And they're going to make all this money, and they're going to finally be able to have a 401k, catch up on retirement. Oh, man, that's God. By the way, don't you please know that Satan would love to cause that little situation and scenario to happen. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying watch out. Be wise, because that good scenario might not be God's plan at all. And we have the obligation and responsibility to think with him on that. On the other hand, so all just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. Amen. You know, we gotta just—I know, simplistic, isn't it? But it's like we gotta kind of like knock, knock. I gotta kind of get that in, get that new line up in my mind. The quote is: "Just because it's good, it's not of God. Just because it's bad, Amen. Doesn't mean it's not of God, right?" As a matter of fact, there's so many bad things. God is the master of taking and allowing for evil to come and then turning that around and just kind of, and causing a reversal. And it happens, you know, that it happens. We see it happen regularly, but we live in America where it's reset, push the reset button, everything's new. We got to have instant gratification, instant fix. Very dangerous place to be. As we look to the Word of God, we see over time God does great things out of the circumstances that the world would say are really not good. And we watch God move. And my impulse has to be, or my I'm challenged that my impulse in circumstance would be for me to just slow down and lean into Jesus Christ and kind of be still. Like, I'm just thinking about, what could Peter have done differently there? Yeah, thank you very much. Shut up. That's, by the way, that's one of them. You're reminding me of something. I had a really good mentor in my life, and he would always go like this, and he would just be in the background, and now I still see him. It's like the Holy Spirit uses that picture, like, shut up, right? Shut up, Jim, and just lean into Christ. I was just thinking, like, if Peter even took the turmoil at that moment and said, Jesus, I don't like this. But I'm gonna just, what do you want me to do? Just be beside me, Jesus. Peter. I'm gonna, you just walk beside me, just lean into me, sit at my feet like Martha did. You know, come into this place where just keep looking into my eyes, like you'll be challenged soon when you bid me to have you come out on the water, right? And just keep looking into my eyes, and that's all I want you to do. And know that I am in control, and I am sovereign over all, and I'm going to redeem this situation. I'm going to turn it, I'm going to make it fall right to my glory. You'll see this time and time and time and time again. I'm just highlighting this for me and for you today, that this is like, we need a different frame of reference. What's a frame of reference, by the way? I just kind of was pondering that. Our frame of reference, and by the way, that has been built, and we have developed our frame of reference since a child. But our frame of reference is a structure, or a frame of reference is a structure of concepts, values, customs, or views by means of which an individual or a group perceives or evaluates data, communicates ideas, or regulates behavior. So my frame of reference, whatever that is, like I believe everybody should dress like this, is my frame of reference. Right? It's my, I, you know, however I came to that conclusion, and you've come to that either through, maybe you were in the military, and maybe it wasn't your family, maybe it was your family, whatever. But I come to, but as far as my response to negative situations, you have a response system built in your brain, and there's, by the way, scientific explanation for all this, where the dendrites and I can't remember the whole process, but literally patterns that were established in your brain that cause you to respond a certain way when pressure comes or when a threat comes into your life. All of us do. And the statement I would make to us is, maybe that served you really well at some time in your life. Could even, by the way, that could even saved you if you're a soldier and you were trained a certain way, had a certain frame of reference, that probably saved your life, right? If you had a hard childhood and perhaps were abused, you probably had certain things that you established on how to respond to a situation that saved you, right? But God says, now I want you to have a brand new frame of reference. And when threats come up, and when trials come into your life, circumstance, I want you to just slow it down and look to me and to look to the Word of God to see that I am in control and I am sovereign above all. And in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways. This is a new frame of reference, right? He's starting to say, I want you to just get tuned in to that what I am doing is not your plan and strategy. And that I've got something much greater going on. We'll talk about that in a minute. What is going on with my circumstances? What in the world could be possibly going on with why could God be allowing this to go on? And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But be careful of your fleshly assessment of any particular given situation, and be on the alert not to respond according to your natural way of responding to bad circumstance or good circumstance, but to have God's frame of reference for that. So all that happens to a believer, all my circumstances, has an eternal purpose to it. In Isaiah 46:10, it says declaring the end from the beginning. God, it is God who declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. When your circumstance comes up and shows itself, that's the first, good or bad. Most of us are trying to reestablish the bad part, right? When bad circumstance comes up, I have to kind of realize that God is in control of all this, and his purpose will come to pass. And that's a lot for you to believe and for me to believe. But it's not so hard as we start to lean on Jesus Christ, who, as Jake, you know, just sang so well, he did it. He did trust in God the Father against everything that came against him. And now we rest in the faith of Jesus Christ. And now I have capacity to get through this situation, this circumstance. And I start thinking God is in control. You know, Jesus was challenged with that as the Son of God, to just say, Father, not my will, but yours. You know what's going on here. And he surrendered to the Father's plan and strategy. And he didn't just press the, you know, ejection button, right? Calling all the angels down, you know, to save himself. He didn't do that. And that's, by the way, we are actually in a process of fellowshipping, as we just read in Philippians 3, fellowshipping with his sufferings. And I think that's got to do with it, where I'm just saying, God, you've got something greater going on here. Not my will, your will in this situation. And so we've got this is kind of one of the things that I have to reframe in my mind, is that things are not falling apart. And things have not, like, my life isn't washed away. You know, somebody's lost a job. Maybe they've lost a career. My life is not done in Jesus Christ. He knew it would happen. He knew exactly the circumstances. I've got this thing, I think I've shared this before. It's in my office. It says, fear not tomorrow, for God is already there. I like that. And it's like, so he knew it was going to happen. You know, you think of the situations that we see and that we all bear. On Wednesday nights, we have prayer night here. And the hard, difficult situations that come. And we start to see that God is working a plan. And we hear it. We don't always see it that night and that prayer, when the prayer comes up, but we believe it. And we're like, thank you in advance, God, for doing this. So these circumstances are actually designed to, and this is some of the reason for circumstance, reveal God's character. God is going to reveal himself in time, in the details of life. They're designed to have us glorify God. You know who I follow? You know who I follow? I was listening to Pastor's message last weekend. I can't remember the scriptures, but it was talking about looking to those and actually honoring those whose faith follow. That kind of, it was along that portion. And I was like, you know, that's who I follow. Not the guy with charisma, not the guy or the woman, you know, who does great, powerful, mighty things. I follow the person who, when circumstance comes, they exalt and glorify Jesus Christ and they give him glory. And in time, they're the ones that, man, they don't, they're there, they're constant. They have relationship to Jesus Christ. I'm not fooled by some charismatic, like, you know, and by the way, I'm growing into it, but by some charismatic move, or you know, by something exterior, but more by that still, that stable, like Peter just leaning into Jesus Christ when he would have preferred to do something miraculous, right, or heroic. And I lean into that person that has an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. They know Christ. John, you know, I think of John. Why did the disciple Jesus loved? Why do you think there was something to that? It wasn't, I don't think it was just this proud pronouncement that we have in the Word of God there. I think it was a reality. Jesus loved John because John was just like, always just had to be right there, right then, right next to Jesus, posture-wise, right beside Jesus. Relationship. It's relationship. Putting faith in your relationship to Christ that is going to deliver you in circumstance. The circumstance might not ever go away, by the way, but you'll be delivered. You will have that in 1 Corinthians 10, is it 10:13a? Which, by the way, you wouldn't believe how many people quote that verse up at the hospital. God will never give me anything more. And as they're like screaming and complaining and, you know, and I understand. I might be too. But it's like there wasn't a lot of preparation and cultivation of their soul that God really has this. And then I'll watch a believer who's cultivated this in their life. And though the pain and suffering might still be there, they glorify God in it. And they pronounce the name of Jesus Christ to others. And it might be through pain. It might not come with a smile. But they glorify Jesus Christ because they know they've cultivated this in their lives. They knew that death would come. Right? They knew it would happen. And they leaned into Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest testimony to me. You know? So, circumstance. Circumstances reveal they reveal a lot of things. Your circumstances, they reveal the attitude of the heart. Circumstance reveals the extent of your fellowship, the Holy Spirit, your personal relationship to Jesus. And I'm not saying any of this to condemn anyone, but to just draw us into this place. Circumstance, it reveals my faith towards God's promises. Circumstance, it brings me into that humility of the cross of Jesus Christ that we were just singing about, right? It is well with my soul. Circumstance, that song that Pastor Kevin, we paused a little bit there, right? We could go back over that song. That is not just a beautiful hymn. That is the victorious Christian there who is just in a place of like, it is well with my soul. You know, when death comes, you know, we know all the different verses there, but it's like, it is well with my soul. That's somebody who knows Jesus Christ and is in relation, and they don't put faith in their circumstance. See, in America, we just have this propensity to put faith. If my circumstances are good, then I know I'm right with God. You know, wrong. If my circumstances are bad, I'm leaning into Jesus Christ. I'm not reacting quickly like Peter. I'm just kind of, God, I need to hear from you now. That's my response needs to be, I need to hear from you now. You know, up at the hospital, I always want to kind of, okay, we got to pray and we're going to get victory in this. But as I watch, and over time I watch, I'm like, I don't want to pray for victory yet. Healing yet. Healing's the last thing. I want the soul, that person, to know Jesus Christ. I want to know Jesus Christ through this whole thing. And then we'll pray for the healing once God's work is really done. God uses suffering in a big, big way. Don't cut it short. You're saying, that doesn't make any sense to me. That's our natural frame of reference. I get that. I want instant deliverance. You know, I do. And we do. We do. But as we develop our faith and relationship to Jesus Christ, we will see that that's not as important anymore. It's just not. So, when good circumstances happen, reiterating now, it must be from God. When bad circumstances happen, it must not be from God. No. Circumstances are brought to draw me to Jesus Christ. Probably... you know, I don't know how it all goes. The more bad circumstance I have, the more God wants me to draw me to him. I don't know. I'm not saying that. That's me speaking out of my own. But I know, I just, whenever it comes. By the way, if good circumstance comes, I'm praising God too, also. Amen. I think the growth thing might come when I can praise God as much for either circumstances, whether good or bad, and just thank him for it, right? So simple, right? This is simple, but it's not. It's not because of this thing called the flesh. It's simple when we consider God, the things of God, but it gets complicated when I have to deal with my old frame of reference. And everybody here has a little bit different frame of reference for circumstances. But this is where God has us going, and I'm not going to be much longer, because then I feel like I'm going to be saying the same thing too many times. Am I going to look out in my circumstances to glorify God? Am I going to start to have divine perspective for circumstance? By the way, you could have put yourself into your own circumstances, and you can get down on yourself for that, or you can just allow God to use it and bring you into, again, right relationship with Him. But, you know, don't stop and cease. You know, I think if we use our own frame of reference in circumstance, most likely we're going to flee. Most likely we're going to get depressed. Most likely we're going to withdraw from situations, from the body of Christ. If we use our own frame of reference, and that's easy to do when we've caused the circumstance, right? And God says, no, listen, yeah, you did. Yeah. I always think of Forrest Gump, you know, stupid is as stupid does. That's me. I always think of that line. Stupid is as stupid does, whatever. Yeah, but you know what? God will even use that. He'll work that into this place. And I got a lot of circumstances that were bad because of stupid is as stupid does. So He's just saying that's okay too. Come to me. I'm gonna use it, and we're gonna turn this into a relationship with me. So let me just go over a few more things as far as just like the scriptural, just to make it obvious, you know, this scripture goes over this time and time and time again. You look at Joseph. Do you know, he got thrown into a ditch for dead by his wonderful brothers, right? How could God allow that to happen? Come on, God. That can't be right. We need to go to the rescue for Joseph, you know? Get him out of that ditch quick. He got thrown in jail with Potiphar's wife. You know, I think he spent, it's not exactly clear, but probably like 11 years in jail. How could God do that? He did, right? But we, thankfully, have been taught, and this is what I mean about learning to reframe. We read Genesis 50, and we see that God made it really clear what the enemy, what Satan meant for evil, God intended for good. And that's like our conclusion, and that's what I'm going to think the next time I'm in circumstances similar to that. Also, so that was an 11-year period. I don't even know how many years before he was finally, he met back with his brothers, and when he was the captain of Israel. But look at what God did there. Like, 11 years in prison, that's not right, that's not just of you, God. You see, when I react improperly to the circumstances of life, I'm actually, can very easily find myself in rebellion to God. I don't know if you realize that. I was like, to me, that makes me like very sober. You know, I got to watch out not to do that. I am not going to be in rebellion to God by complaining about my circumstance. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to lean into Jesus Christ in relationship with Him. And we can look through Scripture and we can just see it again. Job, right? That is not right. And if that's the kind of God we serve, there's something wrong. That's what a lot of Christianity would say, that He would allow that kind of thing to happen. Families wiped out, His whole family wiped out. Disease, I don't know. God was sovereign over it all, and He used that. He's using it today, by the way. The efficacy of God turning that whole situation where, by the way, Satan was the actual one who prompted and started that whole thing. God allowed it, yes, He did. But He was glorified and actually let it be a standard for me today and you to be able to properly glorify God and worship God in circumstance. And it's an amazing, it wasn't fair though, and it wasn't right. Jesus Christ going to Calvary. I mean, we could just go on. Paul being locked up, going, how could these things be, right? And we look to our own situation today and we say, how could it be? Oop, I'm sorry, God, I'm not going to think that way now. I see You've got something going, and it's a great thing. I sit with people, you know, our God is, I read 67 verses yesterday and this morning about the goodness of God. Yes. And I'm going to believe in the goodness of God. And if that's all I can tell somebody in the midst of their unbelievable circumstance, and we sit with them all the time, right? I mean, just hearing what Courtney is sharing with, we sit with people in the circumstance, and God wants to come through if we would just keep our, if we just keep leaning into Jesus and watch the net results. They're going to be amazing. They're going to be amazing. But and realize that I might not even see it all. You know, you look at the faith heroes in Hebrews chapter 11. They didn't receive the promises of God, but they believed him. They never lost hope. They never lost hope. It's a different frame of reference, right? And they died, and they were listed in Hebrews as being the faith heroes because they just kept believing in another country and that God was doing something different in that circumstance. And so they're all listed, right? Noah built the ark even though he didn't see any rain falling, right? He had faith in God. Circumstances that were around him were pretty bad, by the way. And we could just go on and on. But it's like a whole different frame of reference. And so today, I just challenge all of us to commit when we're walking out right now as we pray that I'm going to get a new frame of reference for this. I'm not going to be put to flight by circumstance anymore. And when somebody in the body crosses me, I ain't letting that. That's been allowed for me. I'm not fleeing. I'm staying. Because God's allowed that to conform me, to have me glorify God in the midst of a difficult situation, maybe to have me reveal Christ, turn the other cheek perhaps, I don't know how, and just go in and reveal Jesus Christ and manifest him on this earth, that I actually, in relationship, I put faith in my relationship to Christ instead of the circumstance, and I watch a whole different result. I watch a whole different thing. And I said I was going to close, right? So I probably better do that. What time is it? How do we just cultivate? I'll just read my notes real quick and we'll wrap it up. I'll read right from my notes. No commentary. All right? This is mine anyways. But what is God's provision to have the right frame of reference for situations and circumstance? First of all, and I want to say it's not one and done. Continue to fill your soul with doctrine. Continue to hear God's word. Not just read it, hear it. Romans 10, 14 through 17. Continue to hear the word of God. Choosing to receive it as God's word and not the word of man. We mentioned that in our opening prayer, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Knowing the result of an intake of God's word will give you perfect peace. I love Psalm 119, 165. That's, by the way, I'm reading off my note right now. Perfect peace have they who love God's word, and nothing will cause them to stumble. Nothing. Perfect peace, because in the situation, in the circumstance. Number three, allow the Holy Spirit to convince you of his sovereignty. When Peter was staring at Jesus and he started to sink there, right? He took his eyes off the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, the one who said, come on out, Peter. Come on out on the water. Allow the Holy Spirit to convince you of his sovereignty. And by the way, that's Isaiah 55 again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. So that's just a few ways of cultivating this new frame of reference. And in our faith in Jesus Christ, we can have that relationship right now, today. Nothing in the way because of Calvary. And what, back to Jake's song, right? He did it, and we have it. Amen? All right, so let's bow our heads and pray. God, we just love you, and we thank you. And we just, Lord, let us have this new frame of reference. Let us cultivate it, develop it. Just lean into you and have faith in you with whatever circumstance we might find ourselves in. Certainly, you don't ask us not to pray for deliverance, because we will, but you ask us while we're waiting just to lean into you, and while we're anticipating just to lean into you, and we will, and we do. And I just pray that you'll bless each one here. If there's anybody here today and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, he's there, he came, he bore your sin, he's forgiven you, and he loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you through eternity. And you can have that if we'll just be humble. That verse in James says, be humbled under the mighty hand of God. And so God, if there's, so audience, if there's somebody here that you don't know Jesus, just say, come into my life. I want to give my life to you. Be my Lord and Savior. And if you said that for the first time, I'm going to look up, but we're going to have every head is bowed and every eye closed. If you said that for the first time, just raise your hand. I want to be praying for you, maybe meet you afterwards. Come into my life and live and be my Lord and Savior. Did anybody today? I see that hand. Okay, thank you. Okay, so God bless us. Bless Pastor and Sue, who's here, but just bless Pastor who's away right now, and just give him everything he needs, Lord, as he takes care of his mom and does work there at LRU, and just be with him special. Bless us as we go, Lord. Let us hold on to the truth that we just are esteeming and holding up today, Lord, and let them be part of our lives. And we just ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.